when the rest of the world thinks about Wisconsin, there's a good chance that agriculture, especially dairy farming, are among the first things that pop into their heads.
But does that match up with the economic reality in the state? A new report aims to measure the impact of agriculture in Wisconsin and which kinds of farming are on the rise or on the decline.
That report is called The Contribution of Agriculture to the Wisconsin Economy, and the author joins us now here in the studio. Stephen Deller is a professor and community development economist at the UW-Madison Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics. Steve, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
So we probably all have a sense that agriculture is a big deal here in Wisconsin, no surprise there, but how big is it as part of our economy?
Well, there's really two parts of agriculture. One is on-farm. Most folks think of Wisconsin, they think of dairy farming. But agriculture really is, there's a tremendous amount of food processing mm-hmm. that goes on in the state. I mean, 80 to 90% of all the milk that is produced in Wisconsin actually goes into a manufactured product, primarily cheese. So when you think about agriculture as both farming and food processing, you're looking at, at least 10, 11% of the state's economy is can be traced back to agriculture.
And are we also talking about things like, when you think about the auto industry in Detroit, there's also the parts supplier out there and things like that. Are we talking about support like veterinary services and things like that?
Yeah, there's really, there's really two ways that farming contributes to the state's economy. One is that they're buying inputs. They're buying veterinarian services. They're buying feed. They're buying canning. They're buying equipment. But they also are taking their wages that they're earning, the labor that's there, and they're spending that money in the local economy. So it's really kind of a two-part component here.
And how big a player is the agricultural economy writ large, as you were saying, when it comes to jobs?
In total, agriculture contributes about 413,000 jobs, and that's about 12% of the state's total in terms of jobs.
Well, let's look at this report. Is one you've done a few times now. It's recurring, I think, every 5 years. Is that right?
Yeah, we do it every 5 years so that it lines up with the Census of Agriculture that comes out every 5 years.
So 2009, we just had that crash. In 2008, we're in the Great Recession. How have things changed between then and now?
You know, when you think about agriculture, you generally don't think of a stable sector of the economy. You think of agriculture as kind of bouncing around mm-hmm. depending on weather and things like that. But when you look at how Wisconsin agriculture and food processing performed through the Great Recession, it was actually a stabilizing factor, which I was very surprised to find that.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, we're always going to need to eat, I guess. So there's a limit as to how low demand could go.
That's true. But you see, people will tend to cut back on how they're eating mm-hmm. and their shift how they're eating and whatnot. And you'll see that ripple through. But we've generally did not find. I mean, you can look at the trends and you can say, oh, there's the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. But it was very modest downturn.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's not like a luxury industry, say,
exactly.
Powerboats and things like
exactly.
that. So let's look at different sectors now. As I mentioned earlier, dairy stands out when people think of Wisconsin. How big a part of our state's agricultural scene is dairy?
Well, if you look at all of dairy combined, that would be farming and processing, which again is primarily cheese, you're looking at about 79,000 jobs. About $7 billion in terms of income. So you're looking at a fairly large part of agriculture in Wisconsin is attributed to dairy, but a lot of the growth has been occurring in other parts of Wisconsin agriculture. Cranberry, for example. This wasn't a good year for cranberry because of what happened to prices. But there are other parts of Wisconsin agriculture that are growing. There's a growing, the brewery industry is coming back to the state. The grape industry and winery industry is growing in the state.
So are we seeing a transition from being mostly commodity dependent? I'm thinking, corn, milk, things like that, to some kind of value-added product like beer, wine, cheese.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see is really more of this trend of large commodity where it is, a certain grade of milk, period. That's what the big cheese processors need, and they're making a commodity cheese. But I think we're also seeing a more arsenial market, if I can use that phrase, which is more, a branded. So it's kind of separating out a commodity to a product. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that with the growth of the local foods movement. in terms of the absolute size, the local foods movement is still, it's tiny in comparison to traditional commodity agriculture. But we're seeing growth in that area.
Well, there's been a lot of attention to an artisan, you know, artisan cheesemakers, smaller breweries, things like that. And as you mentioned, the local food movement, still a small part. Does that mean it's always going to be a small part, or is this lots of room for growth?
Well, two things. One is there is the potential for growth, but for Wisconsin in particular, because of the demographics. I mean, we've got the Chicago metropolitan area to the south of us, and we got the Twin Cities to the north and west of us, which are huge markets to tap into. Now, is that local foods? I think it is. It's a local market. It's a regional market. So the potential to tap into those is very, very strong. But the other thing is that we have pretty good data on what is called by the census is sales for human consumption. That's things like farmers markets, roadside stands, CSA-type farms, things like that. We have really good data on that. But this other component of the local foods is selling to restaurants, selling to local grocery stores, selling to local hospitals. We have no idea how big that market is.
Really?
None.
So the, I guess this would be the federal ag department doesn't track that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Do you, now I know you would want your finger on that pulse. Are there ways you think that could be measured?
Yeah, there is. And we're trying to convince the U.S. Department of Agriculture to maybe modify some of their survey questions so that we can get a better handle on that. But that's easier said than done.
Now, one thing I bet they are trying to measure, I'm not sure how much it comes up in your in this new report, is how much does Wisconsin export overseas, or at least outside of the United States?
That's actually a growth potential. I mean, one of the things that we did in the study was to kind of break agriculture down into its different components to look and see which sectors were doing well. And one of the ones was these dried and condensed type dairy products that are really, they're being structured for, you know, long-term shipment. Long shelf lives, long-term shipment, a lot of that's going to the international market. So it's a small part, but it's a growing part. So again, we've got this kind of traditional commodity agriculture in Wisconsin, but we've got all these little niche markets of agriculture that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Here's one niche that I should ask about. Organic farming gets a lot of attention from public radio listeners, definitely. Is that something that's grown in the last 5-10 years?
It is, but it's not growing in terms of local foods. It's growing in terms of the larger producers. The larger producers have realized that there's a market, and you have some of the larger retailers, if you will. Walmart, for example, is moving this direction. Some of the fast food chains are moving this direction because their customers are demanding it. And so what we're seeing is some of the larger producers changing their production techniques so that they can go into that organic market. So it's a growing market. But it's the growth is coming from larger scale producers.
Right. So it would be hard for a small farmer to keep up with one Walmart store, let alone a Walmart distribution center. Say.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's what economists call transactions cost. There's a great example in western Wisconsin where there was a hospital that wanted to use local produce. And they were running into a problem of having to, you know, write contracts and enforce contracts with 100 different little farmers. And it's just not cost effective. I mean, it's I can write one contract with a wholesaler mm-hmm. and get everything I need, or I have to write 100 contracts and deal with 100 different little farmers, and it doesn't work. So what happened is a group of farmers came together and formed what's called Fifth Season Cooperative, which is essentially a marketing arm. They came together and realized that Fifth Season Cooperative can be the kind of go-between the farmers and the larger producers, and it's working out to be a real success story.
Yeah, it's interesting. The byword a lot of times lately seems to be eliminating the middleman. You know, you hear that in ads for appliances and things like that. Here, a middleman was desperately needed.
You need the middleman, and it's again, it goes back to what economists call transactions costs. That's what that middleman does, is that he essentially connects buyers and sellers, and he absorbs all those costs. It's a very vital part of the economy.
We're talking to UW-Madison community development expert Stephen Deller about his new report on the contribution that agriculture makes to Wisconsin's economy.
And you can join our conversation. Are you a farmer? And what is the economy like where you're working? How important is farming, do you think, to your community? And what about farmers markets? You can call and share your questions and experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now about Wisconsin agriculture and the impact it has on the economy statewide and in local communities.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. How important is agriculture, farming, food processing in your part of the state? If you're in the business, how are things going for you? And do you participate in things like farmers markets, farm to school programs, community supported agriculture? Tell us your story and ask your questions as well at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. We're talking to Steve Deller with UW-Madison. He has a new report out on this topic. And Steve, just a few moments ago, we talked about a hospital trying to reach out to local farms. How about schools? You hear sometimes about farm-to-school programs. Are they moving the needle on Wisconsin's farm economy?
There is. There is a growing amount of interest in that. But one of the problems that that program has is that a lot of the funding that the public schools receive for lunch programs or breakfast programs, for example, comes from the federal government. And there's a cap on what the federal government will pay for a meal. I think it's like $1.90. Don't quote me on that. And the problem is that that's much below what the farmers need to make this viable. So what a lot of schools are doing is they're moving it more towards less sourcing of local foods, but more of trying to build a stronger connection between students and the farmer so that it's more of an educational program, if you will, so that kids get a better appreciation of where their food is coming from.
And now when we think farming economy, I think we may think of rural economy. I know in this report you also try to measure the impact of the food industry as a whole on urban Wisconsin.
That's right. When you think about agriculture, you immediately think, well, that's a rural component. And there are some the part of Wisconsin that is the most dependent on agriculture in terms of the percent is southwestern Wisconsin, which is a very rural part of the state. It's very dependent on farming. But actually, when you start thinking about food processing, a lot of those food processors are located in urban areas, particularly the northeast part of Wisconsin, kind of the Green Bay area down to Fond du Lac and whatnot. That region in there is heavily dependent upon food processing for employment. Even when you go into Milwaukee, there are large food processors located in the Milwaukee area. So it's not just a rural issue, it's an urban and rural issue.
We had a caller at 800-642-1234. Couldn't stay on the line, but wonders if we are able to assess the role that Wisconsin's Hmong community plays on agriculture here in the state.
When you look at, in terms of commodity production, they don't have much of a presence, but they are making a very strong presence in the local food movement. They are active in that part, and they are growing to be certain parts of the state. They're becoming a very important part of the local foods movement in terms of the suppliers of commodities. But in terms of commercial, large-scale commercial ag, they're not much of a presence.
So looking at region by region, you mentioned southwestern Wisconsin as a key player in agriculture and some of the urban areas. In this report, you break down how different regions are doing. Is there an emerging agricultural region, a place where dairy is getting bigger or smaller for that matter?
I don't think that there's much of a change regionally. There's some, the industries here, because of the geography of the state, you can go back to the culture of the state as well, but a lot of it has to do with the geography of the state. And you're not going to see a whole lot of shifting around in terms of that. But you will see some differences in terms of maybe where some of the smaller scale food processors are coming up. I think that there's a growth in the southwestern part of the state because there's this growth in local foods. A lot of the land in the southwestern part of the state is not conducive to large scale commercial, but it's ideal for the smaller scale. Now the question is are those smaller scale operations viable business enterprises? And that's one of the things the local food movement right now is really devoting a lot of its attention to, is how do we make these smaller operations profitable? Again, it's the same thing. That middleman used to be a dirty word. Well, now they're coming to the realization that they play an important role. Profit was also kind of a dirty word. And now folks are coming to realize that if this is to be sustainable, it has to make a profit.
To a caller now at 800-642-1234. We have Mark with us in Richland Center. Mark, hi.
Hello. I wanted to mention Will Allen in Milwaukee with his group called Growing Power, because he's simply part of a large group of urban farmers whose economic model is altogether different than what you just mentioned with regard to profit and such, because they don't really want to grow food necessarily to sell it into the marketplace, but simply to consume it. So community gardens and school-to-garden things and abandoning the market altogether, grow your food, can it, put it away until whenever you need to use it, or eat it directly from the garden, is a perfectly reasonable economic model. And if you look at what's happening in Detroit and Milwaukee and Chicago and all of the urban farming that's going on, this economic model is huge.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. Brings up some great points. It might, Steve, be hard to measure that from an economic standpoint because they're not going to market. They're not generating those measurable numbers. But do you see an impact from those?
In terms of the economic impact, there really isn't much. I mean, in terms of the impact on the individual family, it could be huge. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the larger economy, it's really not that big of a market, or I shouldn't say a market, but that large of a segment. The one thing, though, that is happening with a lot of these urban gardens in particular is that it's not really an economic development strategy in terms of jobs and whatnot. It's a community development strategy. It's building social capital within that community. There's evidence where gang activity, if you take a vacant lot and you turn it into a community garden, there's some evidence that that actually kind of deters crime within that area. I can come up with nice stories, but, you know, why that's happening is I think, a fascinating question. So I think that these urban gardens may not be an economic development strategy, but they're a great community development strategy.
Mark, thanks so much for the call. Back to the phones now with Jay in Hancock. Jay, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up, Jay?
Well, I got into this conversation a little bit late, and I apologize. It sounds like small farming, wonderful things. You were just talking about the economic advantages and profits of large-scale farming. I live in the Central Sands area, and in the last 20 years, we've seen thousands of acres of forestry turned over for large-scale ag and crop growing. In our case, they're growing potato chips across the street from us. At what point does that profit, for agriculture, supersede tourism, weekend campers coming up from the city, and, you know, just taking over the environment with their large-scale farming?
Jay, thanks a lot for the call. So weighing the benefits of a large agricultural operation versus whatever else you might be doing with that plot of land, Steve.
There is no correct answer to that question because it's a value statement. You could get 10 people in a room, ask those 10 people that exact question, and you're going to get 10 different answers. This is where it really comes down to choices at the individual community level. I'm dealing a lot with frac sand mining and how that plays out, and it's the exact same issues in terms of do we dig up the sand and sell it and make lots of money, or do we preserve the wildlife and the heritage of the area? And for one community, the decision may be we want to promote frac sand mining. We want to do it in an environmentally sensitive way. We want to go that way. Another community could say, you know, nope, we don't want frac sand mining. So there really is no clean answer. It's going to vary by what the community wants.
Now, big picture, looking at how things like federal policy and state policy affect us, affect the economic impact of agriculture in Wisconsin, are there any big question marks out there, any big things that stand out to you?
One of the things that is happening with the Farm Bill that was passed last year.
After a lot of delay.
Which is normal now. Yeah. It's not a five-year Farm Bill. It's a seven-year Farm Bill. Is kind of the movement away from traditional price supports, the movement towards things like insurance. So there's been some transitions in the terms of way in which the federal government is trying to provide some safety net for the farm industry. I don't think that's going to affect consumers very much, but it will affect how farmers have to think about their business decision making.
Now it's harvest time for a lot of farmers. We're having a warm, dry weather around the state. Looking at this year in particular, Steve, a banner year for Wisconsin agriculture, or are there areas of concern?
So far, everything looks pretty good. There is always the potential, and this is what happened to cranberries. They had a bumper crop, and what happens to price? It drops. So we could be in a position of Wisconsin doing fairly well in terms of yields. Yields are going to be good. In terms of feed prices to dairy farmers, that could be good. But we could be in the same situation where everybody has a good growing year, we overproduce, and prices plummet. And that's why you think of agriculture as an unstable industry, because of things like that.
It's one of those quirky parts of the business. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Stephen Deller. He's a professor and community development economist at the UW-Madison Department of Agricultural and Applied Economics. We've been talking about his new report on the impact on Wisconsin's economy of agriculture.